Morning, New Hope family. How are you guys doing? How was your Christmas? Good. Christmas is the most wonderful time of the year, the song says, and this is, we are entering into the most dreadful time of the year as far as I'm concerned. We get the new year, and then it's just like 3, 4, 5 months of winter, and it hasn't hit yet, so you know it's coming, but anyway. Hey, so I'm going to try to overcome the dreariness with an exciting announcement. This is Bob Sweet. Everybody say hi, Bob.
Hi.
And so we've talked about a few times, you can throw that slide up there, this personal witness class, this Evangelism 101, we kind of called it. And Bob is going to be leading this, but I wanted to give you guys a chance to meet Bob real quick, and I'm going to let him talk, trust me, but just give me a minute here to get some words out. We finished up our series on Acts before Christmas, and what we talked about is our mission as the church is to be witnesses of the gospel, the good news of forgiveness and new life in Christ. And we need to share that message with all the world. And Bob has been attending New Hope for like a year and a half.
Yeah.
And I've gotten to know him a little bit. And we have talks about God and theology and life and all that fun stuff. And I've been a welcome guest in his home. He's got a beautiful old home that they have kind of fixed up that I really like a lot. And when it comes to evangelism, when it comes to being a having a personal witness and being a witness, what I like about Bob is he puts his money where his mouth is. He's part of a Christian motorcycle club, and we got an image. He's like, oh, I don't want you putting pictures up there. I don't want to make this about me, but you show that picture for me, John. Yeah. And so they go out, and they do all kinds of things in different communities, and they share the gospel. And that's really cool. And he can tell you a little bit more about that. There's something that I really wanted to have you share about. I believe that there are two things that really matter when it comes to being a personal witness. Number one, you need to love God, or you need to be learning to love God by following Jesus, because loving God is just, it's not something that comes supernatural to us. You have to kind of learn how to do that, and you learn how to do that by following Jesus. And you need to love people, because once you begin to love God, he puts inside of you a love for people, men, women, and children, everyone created in the image of God. In fact, I think that you'll know that you're actually learning to love God when you start saying, why do I care so much about other people all of a sudden? And then the Holy Spirit's working. And Bob, you shared with me a story one time from an experience serving in your work in the ambulance corps, and you can show a picture of that if you want there too, John, and how you realized the importance of loving people and how God wants to use us through loving people. So would you share a little bit about that story with everybody else?
Sure. Hi. You can all hear me, right? So, really quickly, I was, I accepted the Lord when I was about 30 years ago, and that was ages and ages ago. But ever since then, as Matt said, the closer you get to God, the closer you get to wanting other people to know about him. And so it's always been on my heart, and it didn't matter where I was, at church or in the workplace or my avocation. I love to work on the ambulance, and I've been doing that for 40 years. But, you know, in a professional setting like that, you really don't bring, or you're not supposed to bring, Christ into the workplace, right? That's the way we look at the world. And one day, the Lord said, no, I want you to bring Christ into your workplace. Now, I do this not to be paid. I do this as a volunteer. So I worked at a company, and I did this as a volunteer. But he said, I want you to tell people about me, and I want you to love them. So we were on a bad call one time. It was a car accident, and sure enough, we got there, and there was a car off into the ditch. It was the most bizarre scene I've ever seen. The car wasn't banged up too bad, but in the front seat were a father and son. And you wouldn't believe it, but they were punching each other. Major family argument going on with fisticuffs and everything else going on. And believe it or not, the state police that were there didn't want to get involved. They said, we're not going to pull them out. You guys can do that if you want. So the firemen and us EMS folks, we got in there and we yanked them apart. And I ended up being the paramedic for the son, who's probably 30, beating on his father of, 60. And we tied him down because he was trying to beat us up and everything. And as we're kind of carrying him on the gurney to the ambulance, the foul stuff that came out of his mouth was awful, and it was towards me. And I don't know why I said it, but right out of my mouth, I said, "Man, I love you." I was shocked, and so was he. He says, "How can you say that? You don't even know me." And I said to him, "I love you because Jesus Christ loves you." And this is totally out of the realm for me. You know, I'm a professional. I have my uniform on. You just don't say that to your patients. Well, his demeanor changed completely. And we had a wonderful chat from that scene to the hospital as we took him in. He was no longer angry with me or angry with his father. He wanted to hear more about Christ. So ever since then, and that was probably 20 years ago, every patient that I have in the back of my ambulance, one way or another, hears about God.
Amen.
All right? Amen. So that's really just to tell you about what's on my heart and why I want to teach this course so bad. I've had some experience, as Matt showed you in the pictures, of doing evangelism, some street evangelism, but pretty much we all have our own circle of life, if you will. To be an evangelist doesn't mean that you have to go out on the street corner and get that boombox and start preaching. What it means is that in your circle of influence, the people that are around you, your family, your friends, your coworkers, and yes, even strangers, they need you to tell them about Christ. Who in here has heard about the Great Commission? All right. Anybody know where that is in the Bible?
Yes.
It's somewhere in the New Testament. Yeah. Yeah. So the Great Commission is where Jesus told his disciples, the apostles, go and make disciples, right? Okay. In Romans, it also talks about how will they know if we don't send them, if we don't tell them. See, the Great Commission is for us. We are told by Christ, I want you to spread my word. I want you to spread my church. Now, there are typically two reasons why people don't want to do this. Right? Anybody know what they are? Typically, too. The first one is we don't
fear.
Think.
Fear.
Did somebody have one? What was it? Fear. Yeah, that's the big one. The second one is we're worried that we don't know enough. In my experience, the people you're going to talk to, and should talk to, don't know that much, and you know that much. No matter where you are on your walk, you know so much more about God and Christ and salvation. So the fears that we may have lie in, I don't think I know enough. And I just want to do a quick demonstration about fear. By the way, this is, you may have seen this before on me. And Matt didn't know I was going to take a half an hour to do this, but... So what I have here is a crisp $20 bill. Now, this is just for the adults in the room. Who wants a $20 bill? Just for the adults in the room. I knew the kids would. Yeah. Does anybody want a $20 bill? Yep. A few hands go up. Yep. I want it. I want it. So who wants a $20 bill? Okay. More hands. Does anybody really want this $20 bill? Really? Uh-oh. Uh-oh. There we go. Aha. Thank you. Very good.
I'll put it into good tracks to give to people.
Great. Great. Yeah, we'll talk about tracks. So why was she the only one at that point that came up and got the $20 bill?
The word bill. She wanted it.
She wanted it. Yeah, she wanted it, but a whole bunch of other people wanted it.
She was brave.
Brave? Brave? Why did she have to be brave? Didn't know what I was going to do? But it's $20. Right.
She,
because, what was that?
She didn't worry about anybody what they would think.
She didn't worry about what other people were going to think. And that's the fear. So getting to the point of why we're up here, this course is going to be overcoming those things, thinking we don't know enough, and getting rid of the fear of telling other people about Christ, okay, along with lots of other stuff. You know, we're going to talk a little bit about apologetics. Anybody know what apologetics is? Yeah. I'm going to apologize for my faith? No, not quite. All right. We're going to have lots of understanding about why people need to know, how you can actually talk to people and get rid of that fear. And we're also going to put our learning into action. There'll be opportunities for us to go out and actually tell people about Christ. All right. And there's lots of homework assignments related to that. So anyways, I hope you all take a look at the bulletin. It's at the bottom of the second page. Please, if you're interested at all, let me know. And remember, we are called to do this. Okay?
Yeah, I just was waiting for an opportunity so I could ask the one question that I know everybody is wondering. So when do they get their vest and their motorcycle?
Ah. You have to bring your own motorcycle, but I'll buy you the vest.
All right. Yeah. So don't worry. You don't have to go out with a motorcycle club. That's extracurricular. And but okay, so what I do want to do is I just want to pray for us real quick. We're gonna dismiss the kids, so I'm gonna pray for them as well. And so the kids are gonna be able to go to their classes. We have all the classes stuff happening again this morning. Next week we are back on our normal schedule. Thank you for remembering and the people that show up in about half an hour. Just be gracious to them. Okay, so let me pray for us that we would be a witness, and let me pray for the kids and those serving with them as well. So let's pray. Father, thank you for the opportunity that we have been given. First and foremost, thank you for loving us. Thank you for Christmas as we just thought through and celebrated the incarnation, that you loved us so much that you gave your one and only Son. And Jesus, you stepped down from the heavens. You set aside your equality with the Father to humble yourself, to become like us, to become one of us, to take our place on the cross and to give new life to us. And that, God, we want everyone to know that they can be reconciled to you. And yet, like Bob was saying, a lot of times we're anxious, we're afraid, we don't know what to say to people. So I pray that you just help us to start at the place of love, that we would show kindness and compassion to people, that we would have the eyes of Jesus, that we would see people in their lostness, and that we would be moved by that, and that we would love on them. And that as we learn more and more, like how do I begin to have a conversation with somebody? How do I begin to share with them about spiritual things? That you just help us to learn this. I pray for Bob and this class that's going to be happening, and for all those that will be a part of that, that you would just use that powerfully for your kingdom. God, I pray for for each person in this room, from the youngest to the oldest, but I just pray for this next generation now, that as we dismiss the kids here from the littlest to the oldest, that you would just be with them as they go to these classes, that your truth would be shared. I pray for those who are leading this time, as well as for what you're going to share with us through Cody this morning in this place. And God, we just ask that you'd be glorified here, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, kids, you guys are free to head that way. The team is going to come back up here. Are they already up here? Good job. You can just take it right to the back there. Yeah, thanks.
You guys stand and join us. Yeah. Oh, Morning, Lord, we give you all honor and glory. Lord, we thank you that you chose to send your son, that he would live a perfect life, die for us, and then send your Holy Spirit to dwell in us, Lord. We just thank you. We thank you for that comfort that you have left us, Lord. We thank you for your truth. We ask that it would just fill this room this morning. In your name we pray, amen. So you guys take a seat.
Awesome. Good morning, New Hope family. Good morning for those of you who are watching online. If you check your bulletin, it says that Pastor Matt Archer is preaching. He's not. My name is Cody Welsky. I'm one of the pastors at the Fulton Alliance Church. If you do not know me, if you haven't seen me before, most of you have. I have a beautiful wife, Sam. I have four beautiful daughters, Tori, Kendra, Shamik, and Cora. My mother-in-law's mother, so my grandmother-in-law, attends church here, and she loves it here. You guys have welcomed her really, really well. She loves coming. I'm just so thankful that I have such a good friendship with Matt, that we can just collaborate together on sermons and different things. I can give him a room to sleep at Delta Lake when they give him not such a good, nice room to sleep in. So, yeah, I'm excited to bring the word for you this morning. Is up? Okay. This morning. And let me just pray real quick. Dear God, we just are so thankful that you have provided us light from the beginning. From the moment that Adam and Eve rejected you, you provided light for us, light and salvation for us through the entire story of the Bible, Lord. As we look into that this morning, I just pray for ears to hear and eyes to see what you have for each person, God, because you are a God of the nations, but you're also a God who wants an individual relationship with each of us, Lord. We just thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, my favorite kind of I love movies. My favorite movies are the movies that they tell you what's going to happen in the movie before it has even started. But you have to watch it a couple times. I think I messed up on the slides, but it's okay. That's all right. So let me just take a step back. Matt and I have been working together with Pastor Steve Nielsen at our church on the sermon series. And God for us, God to us, God with us, God not us, and this week I get to tackle God in us. And I'm thankful for Bob because he just said half my sermon, and thank you. I'm just kidding. But we looked at God for us, how everyone is just sinners, and we deserve death. We frankly do. We turn our back on God every single day. Then God to us, how God is Emmanuel. He came to us. He is in this little baby, the incarnation. And then how God walked with us, how he can relate to us, how he can walk with us every day. And then how we are not holy at all, but we can actively pursue holiness because of what Jesus has done for us. And now I get to tackle God in us. Again, back to my movies. I love movies. My favorite movies are the movies that you know what's going on. You know what's happening. I have a toddler, so we watch Encanto every single day. Every day, three or four times a day. And the more I watch this movie with my toddler at 5:30 in the morning, because she doesn't sleep past then, I'm like, they literally tell the entire plot of the movie. It's on her dress. On her dress, she's dancing all around in the beginning, singing this cute song. There's the entire plot of the movie. In every song. It's just conflict after family conflict, and it just builds up until the house breaks. I'm not going to spoil it, but you should watch it, because it's the best Disney movie that they come out with, like, ever. So, next one. I love Marvel movies. But as I went through and I watched all of them, my wife and I's first date was Avengers Endgame. She did not see any of them, but I said, please do not talk. And if you track it, every movie they really emphasize on Tony Stark's hands. And I'm going to spoil it because you should see the movie. You've already seen it already. It's been out for at least 6 years. He snaps his right hand after telling us what's going to happen. He's going to do something with his right hand. He snaps it and saves everybody. God does that for us. From the beginning, we can track through the entire storyline of the Bible that God shows himself in fire. From the flaming swords of the cherubim, to the fiery furnace with Meshach, Rashach, and Abednego, to the star in Bethlehem. He shows himself in fire and light. And at Christmas time, every Christmas movie talks about lights. Light's a big thing. That's because Jesus is the light of the world, and he's coming to us. So that's why we emphasize on light. One of the first times that Jesus really shows up to the Israelites, he shows up to Moses. In Exodus 3-4, says the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a burning bush. Moses saw that the bush was on fire and did not burn up. I would want to see that too, because that is crazy. So Moses thought, I will go over there and see the strange sight. Why the burning bush did not burn up. When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him in front of him and said, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, here I am. God's presence is showing up in fire and in light. Next, we see Moses delivered the Israelites from Egypt, and we see the presence of the Lord leading the Israelites in the wilderness. In Exodus 13, the Lord went ahead of them in the pillar of cloud to lead them their way through day and in the pillar of fire given them a light at night so that they could travel day or night. The pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night never left this place in front of the people. So that's pretty cool, because I don't know if you've ever driven with your lights off. It doesn't work. Imagine walking in a desert without any light. But God provided that light for them. His presence is just there, wanted to dwell with the people, be there for them, keep them safe, protect them. I went on a hiking trip with a bunch of youth over the summer, and we needed these lights on our head, or we weren't going to see. It was going to downpour, so it was a two-day hike. And it ended up being a one-day hike because it was going to downpour. We tracked 20 miles in one day. My ankles were like this. At 8 o'clock the night before, or 8 o'clock that night, we had to click on our lights on our head. And if we didn't have that light, we would not have made it to the inlet. We were going to camp out. Because if we didn't make it there, we were hiking the whole 20 miles, and we wouldn't have been there until midnight. In Exodus 19, on the third day when morning came, there was thunder and lightning, a thick cloud on the mountain, and a very loud blast from the ram's horn, so that all people in the camp shuddered. Then Moses brought the people out of the camp to meet God. This is the first time they're meeting God. This is Pentecost. This is why they celebrate Pentecost, is this passage, this time. And they stood at the foot of the mountain of Mount Sinai, was completely enveloped in smoke because the Lord came down on it in fire. Its smoke went up like the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mountain violently shook as the sound of a ram's horn grew louder and louder. Moses spoke to God. God answered him in the thunder. I don't know if you guys have had a... Remember the Christmas story where the dad walks up the stairs and he's just covered in smoke and it's just loud and obnoxious? It was kind of like that, but way worse. But God was showing his presence by fire and smoke and light. And it was huge. And it was great. And this was Pentecost. This is why that when we look... If you guys look at the Mark 2 series that I know you guys were going through, and the book of Acts, this was Pentecost. This is why the Israelites traveled, because they wanted to celebrate this day. Then we look in Matthew 3, when John the Baptist is talking to these people, and they're like, baptize me, baptize me, baptize me. And he says, I baptize you with water for repentance, but after me comes one who is more powerful than I am, whose sandals I'm not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Okay, are you guys tracking with me? God's showing himself through the entire story of Scripture. When he reveals himself, he reveals himself in fire. He revealed himself with the flaming swords. He revealed himself at the burning bush. He revealed himself in the Star of Bethlehem. This is how God revealed himself. Now he's saying, John the Baptist is saying, there's a guy coming who's going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. So they knew that this wasn't the presence of God. They knew they read these scriptures over and over again. They were taught. This is a big, big deal. Then if we look at Acts 2, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like a blowing of a violent wind. Does that sound familiar? It's from the Exodus passage, from Pentecost. Violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house, and they were sitting. And they saw what seemed tongues of fire that separated, that spread, and came to rest on them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in tongues as the Spirit enabled them. I'm not going to talk about tongues. This is not this message. I'm going to talk to Pastor Matt. But the Jewish people that were there gathered at Pentecost, they read these scriptures. They knew over and over and over again, like God revealed himself with fire. John said, I was going to be baptized with fire. This was exciting. This was exciting news that the Holy Spirit, that God's presence, who proved himself in Scripture to be in the presence of fire, is now dwelling among the people. Can I get an amen? Because that's exciting. That's really exciting. I can't even explain, because like, imagine being taught this stuff from childhood, from when you were little. Like, God reveals himself in fire over and over and over and over again, and then now this fire is hanging over my head. Like, what? That's crazy. That's amazing. Now, in 1 Corinthians 6, it talks about, do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies. Again, temples, like the fire always showed up in temples. It was in the tabernacle, it was in the temple. Your body is a temple. The fire, God's presence inside you. We look at Acts 13. But Paul and Barnabas did not back down. They were in an argument with other leaders that this good news about Jesus is only for the Jews. Standing on the ground, they said, it was required with God's word be first spoken to the Jews, but seeing that you have not taken a part of it, you've made it clear that you have no taste or inclination for eternal life. The door is now open to all outsiders, and we are on our way through it, following orders, doing what God has commanded. When he said, I've set you up as a light of the nations, you shall proclaim salvation to the four winds and the seven seas. So the reason we have this presence now isn't just to sit in these, we have pews in our church, but you guys have nice chairs. Not just to sit in the chairs or in the pews, but it's to take the gospel to all nations, to the seven seas, proclaiming that to everyone. The Great Commission is in Matthew 28 and Acts 1:8 and in all the other gospels. But this is good news, because it says that we are not alone, that the Spirit that Jesus has, it lives inside you. And that we're not alone, because sometimes this life can feel lonely. We can feel fear not to share the gospel. We can feel shame. We can feel not good enough because we don't feel like we're equipped. So you should take Bob's class. But the Holy Spirit, everything is missional about the Holy Spirit. Everything. He's our comforter. He's our advocate. He's our helper. He helps us out. He teaches us. He guides us. He convicts us of sin. If you are a follower of Jesus and the Holy Spirit is not convicting you of sin, then we got to talk, because we're all sinners. And if you are doing the same stuff that you were doing before Jesus resurrected you, then you're not being missional. Because people can see that change, and that change can change other people. The Holy Spirit can teach you for mission, to teach you about the Word of God so you don't feel like you don't know what you're talking about. He can advocate for you. He can comfort you. He can help you. He can heal you. Thank you. The Holy Spirit is all about mission. And the Holy Spirit also doesn't take Scripture for granted. He will bring Scripture up to your brain. If you feel like something's talking to you and it doesn't line up with Scripture, it's not the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit does not forsake that. Jesus says, I will send the Comforter and the Teacher, and he will teach you everything that I, he will remind you for everything I taught you. He also empowers us. This is the exciting part. This is really exciting. That there are different kinds of gifts. 1 Corinthians says there are different kinds of gifts, but they are given to all who believe by the same Spirit. There are different ways to serve, but all come from the same Lord. There are different ways that the Spirit works, but the same God is working in all these ways and in all the people. The Holy Spirit is given to each of us in a special way that is for the good of all. The gifts of the Spirit are to build up the body. They're not just for you personally. They're to build up the body. The fruits of the Spirit, in Galatians 5, are to build up you. This is how people are going to know that you are a believer. But for the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. This is how you're going to know that you are a follower. And the Holy Spirit will help you with this, because sometimes I don't feel a lot of joy. I've been sick all week. I've been sick actually for the month. And Christmas was really rough. I had like the month cough. I'm not contagious or anything. They put me on a lot of steroids. A lot. Ask my kids. Sometimes I'm not very patient. But I try. The Holy Spirit helps me. Helps me. I'm not, when my words aren't always the most gentle, but the Holy Spirit is helping you. The same Spirit of God from the beginning is now indwelling inside me and inside you. The Hudson Taylor says that the missionary spirit is the spirit of Jesus, the spirit of the incarnation, the spirit and the cross. I'm going to read that again. The missionary spirit is the spirit of Jesus, the spirit of the incarnation and the cross. I read that and it really, really hit me, because this little baby, the incarnation of God, who then came and was a little baby just like we were, and then grew up to be a man and experienced the same sadness. That was missional. That was missional of God to relate to us and to dwell with us and to be with us. That was missional. So as followers of Jesus, we should be doing that. That too, the Christmas story is missional. I was reflecting on Christmas. I'm like, wow, it really didn't feel like Christmas this year, because it was like 50. There was no snow. We just had a lot going on. We threw like 20 parties in 3 days. It was not restful. Our kids had sports. We usually spend a lot of time with them. But like, that's not Christmas. The Christmas is celebrating the birth of Jesus, because he was a free gift for us. And Christmas is the way to the cross. And without the cross, there's no Christmas. So I'm going to go, can we go to the next slide? So what gifts has the Holy Spirit given you to empower you for mission? Can we, everybody stand up if you can, please? And can you just look to the person to your right and say, you have gifts for mission. And then look at the person behind you and say, you have gifts that the Holy Spirit has given you for mission. If you are a follower of Christ, then you have a gift for mission. Now, if look to the person to the other left. I'm not sure what I said right. And say that you have a gift for mission. We all have a gift for mission. Honey, you can walk over. Matt's not going to bite. I Matt's my friend. So, you guys can sit. But every one of you, if you are a follower of Jesus, you have gifts that you can give New Hope Church to help this place grow. It's pretty packed right now, but it can grow. We can get, this church can get bigger, and you all have gifts. Whether you're, my grandmother, she's, how old is she? Do you say that in church? Can we say? No? She's not 25. But she's in there serving my daughter and the other babies in there. She has gifts and she's not 25. Right? If you're a teenager, you have gifts. We all have gifts. If you're a follower of Jesus, you have gifts to impact the body because Jesus sent that to you. Right? Because it's missional. People get into depression after Christmas because a lot of different things. But I'm so thankful that Matt has given me this. It's the last day of the year of 2023. We're rocking to the 24. And you have gifts, and that's good news. That's good news that the Holy Spirit is among you, is producing fruit in your life, is giving you gifts for mission, not just here. We can do it here right now, but also to the ends of the earth. Okay, the next one. This one's a little harder. How is the Holy Spirit transforming you? I'm not going to make you guys stand up. Because this is just a reflection thing. How is God transforming you so that his presence can transform others? I cry. God should be transforming you. You look, I don't know what your views are on the show Chosen, but the way that Jesus interacts with Mary just brings tear to my eyes.
Yes.
He changed her life. Jesus should transform you from new life to the next life. I really like you. You make me feel good. I need that affirmation. I need that affirmation, really, I do. Oh, thank you. There should be a new life that's given to you. Matt has shared with me as we were preparing for this that you guys looked at Elroy. Hopefully I said that right. The God who sees. But it's not just the God who sees you. It's the Holy Spirit that dwells inside you that wants life change for you because that life change is missional too. When I came to Jesus, I lost a lot of friends. A lot of friends. It pruned a lot of fruit out of my life. So I was living a new life for Jesus. And I gained a lot of good friends, like my boy Matt here. We have a lot of good friends. People can see that change in your life. I'm serving in the same community I grew up in. And that's hard sometimes because people don't want to trust what God's doing in your life. And sometimes you don't want to trust it in yourself, but God is created, doing a new work in you. Thank you. So as you guys are continuing this Martu series, just remember these things, that God is transforming you and he wants to transform you for a mission, that God is empowering you with gifts that can change the world. I have one last story, and then I'll let the worship team close. When I went to Liberty University, and there was we had to do like a, what's it called? We had to read the newspaper, current event. Current events, it was like a capstone class. And there was this girl. She was working in Africa. She like wanted to go there her entire life. And she went there. She created this center for underprivileged teens and underprivileged people, created a food pantry. It was great. Their ministry was going good. People knew who she was, and she was fairly wealthy. I don't remember her name, but a group of men jumped her and killed her. Her family, her mother and father, I couldn't even imagine this. Her mother and father knew the good work that she was doing and came and continued to run the center. And when those men got out of jail, because the legal system in Africa is different than ours, got out of jail, she employed them. That's the Holy Spirit, what the Holy Spirit can do. He can change lives. He can change hearts. He has gifts for you. And I'm just going to end with a prayer, but just remember from the beginning to the end, the Spirit of God was pursuing us. God is for us because we can't do it ourselves. God came to us. He walks with us. We're not God. We can't be holy, but God makes us that. And God is dwelling in us. Sanctification leads to multiplication. Dear God, we just thank you for this time that I was able to share with New Hope, Lord. I just pray that this that your Holy Spirit just spoke to somebody maybe who isn't feeling like they're empowered, isn't feeling like the Spirit's there. But Lord, I just pray that you can just show up in their lives and show them that they have gifts to impact the kingdom of God, to impact New Hope Church and impact the world. Whether it's drawing, or whether it's playing sports, or whether you can choose. You chose Moses. Moses stuttered. You chose David. We all know his fall. And God can choose you and redeem their lives and send the Spirit to empower and impact the world. We just thank you so much for that, Jesus. In your precious name, amen.
Stand and join us as we close. Jesus.
The grave all of the fear.
My hope for us, New Hope Church, as we enter into a new year is that the knowledge and the truth that the Spirit of God, the same Spirit who raised Christ from the grave, now lives inside of all who are in Christ. And he's giving us a power not only to grow in his love and to know him more, but to be a light unto the nations. And just as Bob talked about, just as Cody talked about, that begins just in our own circle of influence, in our families, with our friends, in our workplace. And we want to be a reflection of the love of Christ into our community as a church. We don't want to be a church that just meets on Sunday mornings. So I'm praying for you, New Hope Church, as you enter into the new year, as you make your resolutions or whatever it is, that you would just continue to celebrate the truth that God came to be with you. And now he resides in you through the power of the Holy Spirit. And that we would be moved by that and challenged by that this year. God bless you as you go. Have a wonderful rest of your 2023.